You have your Bibles? Got your Bibles? Okay. We've been studying about the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, sooner or later, you got to come down to the studying the Holy Spirit, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to begin studying about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks. And I hope that you'll be reading through the different texts that I give to you. By the way, if you're visiting with us this morning, there's a guest card in your pew, and we'd love to know who you are and how we can get to know you better in the days ahead. Our text this morning is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, primarily. We're going to go a couple other places, but we're going to stay right there, and then we're going to go through chapter 13 and 14 in the weeks ahead. So as I said a while ago, if you'll be reading through these different passages, I think that you'll benefit, always you'll benefit from the reading of God's Word, but especially when that'll be our emphasis for the next few weeks. First Peter, don't turn there, let me just quote this verse for you. First Peter says this: as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one of you have received a special gift, each Christian at the moment of their salvation receives a gift, or gifts, plural, that fit into the functioning ministry of the Holy Spirit through the church. In Paul's writings, he uses the analogy of the human body over and over again to describe and teach us about the church, the body of Christ. So there's some terms here that we need to make sure we understand. When I say the body of Christ, I'm talking about the church. Okay, when I say spiritual gifts, I'm talking about those gifts that were given to believers who make up the church. And when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the person, the third person of the triune God, as we see in Scripture, who lives in the believer, who gave you the gifts and through you expresses those gifts in Christian ministry. Now, when we think of the human body, we know that there are many parts of the body. Each part of the body has a purpose and a function. In the same way, each individual Christian is a part of the body of Christ, the church. Each one has gifts and a purpose, as Peter put it, to be employed in service to others. There's that word other again. Everybody say others. It's not about you. It's about others. Christ did not come to save himself. He came to save others. That's right, because he didn't need to be saved. And once you've been saved, you don't need to be saved. So then you can give your life for others. So if each gift is employed in the church, which is the body of Christ on earth, then the ministry of the church will be effectual and productive. Now, I came across this idea the other day, and I just want to allude to it. When Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, and he became a human being, at conception, amen, I want to clarify that. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. When God became man and walked on this earth, he was the incarnate Messiah. He was the God in the flesh. He's not here anymore. His literal physical body is not on earth anymore. Where is it? It's in heaven. Now, I want you to connect this reality, This is God's ideal reality, that the church, the body of Christ, becomes the incarnation of God on the earth now that Christ is gone. How important is it for us to be aware of spiritual gifts and to understand spiritual gifts? Because those gifts are like the parts of your body. They make up the body of Christ on earth. Did you get that? Say amen. That just blesses me when I think about you being a part of the body of Christ, and that God's purpose for you is to manifest the reality of God on this earth. He doesn't have another plan. Now, all of us have, one time or another, experienced debilitating illnesses. When you have a cold or the flu, it affects your whole body. Amen? When you break your leg, it affects your whole body. When you have a heart attack, it affects your whole body. When you have an earache, whatever your illness might be, it affects your whole body. Why is that? Because your body is a unit. You are captive to this physical body. And when something's not right in this body, it becomes a burden. When things aren't functioning the way that God intended for your body, your physical body, to function, it makes it difficult for you to have, quote, normalcy. Whatever is normal for you. Somebody says, well, what's normal? Well, I'm not sure. Don't look at me for normal. I may not be normal. But sometimes our bodies become a burden to us for one reason or another. And sometimes we don't function properly because there's something gone awry in our bodies. So Paul uses this same line of thought in Scripture to teach us about the importance of spiritual gifts, that each part of the body, each part of the church, our ability to function as the church requires, it's not just a good idea, it requires that all of the gifts that the Spirit of God has given to the church function. Because in the case where there's a believer in the church where they're not functioning, they're not utilizing their spiritual gifts, maybe because they're unaware or they don't understand, then that church, this church, or any church who has parts of that body that are not functioning right, hinder the mission of that church to that degree. Now, it may not completely debilitate that church, but it will definitely hold back something that God's given to it to be functional and to be a reality. So, in Ephesians, don't leave 1 Corinthians 12, but if you will just turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's just read a couple of verses here to set us up for what he says in 1 Corinthians. Ephesians 4, 7 and 8 says, "To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Therefore, it says, "When he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now, go down to verse 11. "And he gave some," here's some of the gifts that he's given to the church, "and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." There's no conjunction there, and this is pastors, teachers, "for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Do you get the essence there, that what I said a while ago is true, that the gifts are given to the body so that they will manifest the glory of God? Your gift is part of the manifestation of God in the body of Christ. In verse 14, "As a result, we are no longer to be children," to be immature in this, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Your gift is so important for the maturing of the body of Christ. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, begin reading with verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be unaware, but you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols or the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But watch this. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. In verse 18. But now God has placed the members of the body, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. Now the first thing I want you to see here is that God has given each gift for the common good. Each gift is given for the common good. In other words, each gift is given for the benefit of all the other members of the body. It's not just for you. Secondly, each gift is given according to the will of God. You don't get to choose your spiritual gift. You can't have mine, and I can't have yours. Now, we can have like gifts. We can have the same gifts duplicated in the church, and there ought to be. But nobody should ever say, well, I wish I'd have gotten a different gift. Listen, whatever gift you have is from the grace of God, and is to be employed in ministry to others. Now look at this, verse 4. There are varieties of gifts. Not all people have the same gift. There are varieties, verse 5, of ministries. And there are varieties of effects. You know what sometimes I hear in the church? Listen to this. Here's a person over here, and they're working and ministering with their gift, and then they'll look at somebody over there that doesn't have their gift, and they'll say, well, why don't they do what I do? Have you ever said that? Why don't everybody see the same things that I see? Why didn't somebody besides me see this need? God gave you the gifts that you need to have so that you can recognize that need so that you can take care of it. And that guy over there, he may be focused on what God has gifted him to do, and he's doing what he's supposed to do, and it ain't none of your bizwax. Except that when you are functioning over there in that gift, and he's functioning over there in that gift, that helps complete the ministry of the church, where if everybody was doing what you were doing, there would be all this over here left undone. And so when you get to the place where you say, well, why didn't somebody do such and such? Why didn't somebody do this? Why do they do this? And why did they do that? Get out of the flesh and get in the spirit. Because it's dangerous in that, because you can quench the Spirit of God or grieve the Spirit of God in the church. The fourth thing, or third thing, each gift affects every other gift. That's what I was just talking about. Each gift fits in with all the other gifts to make up a beautiful portrait of the glory of God. That's the ideal. He says, fourthly, each gift is from the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. When you were pagans, you worshiped false gods. Didn't we all? Didn't we all? And living in this world, sometimes we have a tendency to worship false gods. For example, what about this one right here? Now, did you notice what he said about false gods? He says they were dumb. They were dumb gods. They did not speak. They were mute. They could not speak. Somebody said money talks. Okay, money. Talk. Got you on the microphone here. He ain't saying nothing. Does money talk? Has got Andrew Jackson on there. But he's not talking. You know what Andrew says? He says whatever I tell him to say. However, I can use Andrew any way I want to. Amen? He didn't have a choice. This thing doesn't speak. He's just there. I can use it however I want to. Money don't talk. But we say it does all the time. What do we mean when we say money talks? That money can get somebody persuaded to do what they want you to do, maybe? And so, if a Christian uses money to persuade another Christian or a congregation to do what they want that congregation or that person to do, what is that? That's idolatry. That is worshiping a false God. That's not why God gave us money. And God did not give you your spiritual gifts to be counterfeited as something that they are not. You have gifts from the Holy Spirit given to you by God according to His will to make you fit in the body just as He wills. Now, I brought a little friend with me down here this morning. And you might recognize him. You see him? What is that, kids? Mr. Potato Heads. Okay, now, let's see here. He's got to have a nose. Okay, so let's put his nose over here. And let's put his... Wait a minute. Yeah. Let's put his nose over here. And let's put his ear right here. And let's see. What else does he have? Oh, here's some feet. Let's put his feet up here. And let's put his hand right here. And let's see. What else has he got? He's got to have some eyes. Yeah, okay. Let's put his eyes over here. Is that the way he goes? Well, what's the matter with him, Isaac? His feet on top of him. His feet. He can't think with his feet, can he? He can't smell with his ear, and he can't hear with his nose, and he can't see with his other ear. Let's see what we can do. Let's put his ear over here. Oh yeah, that looks He's just half deaf now. There's his nose. Let's put his eyes here. Put his feet down here. And put his hand over here. He needs two hands, doesn't he? Let's put his hands over here. Yeah, yeah. And let's see. Let's put his hat. Let's put his hat on. He needs a hat. Yep. Yep. We're going to have one orange ear and one pink ear. Is that all right? That way he won't feel left out. Oh, his mouth. He needs a mouth. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Isaac, what'd you do with his... Oh, here is his mouth. Yee! Yee! Maybe that's upside down. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that looks better. He went to the dentist and got his teeth fixed. Now, Mr. Potato Head is a good example of how that the parts of the body need to go in the right place. Amen? And when they're in the wrong place, he's all discombobulated. And so if his nose itches, he can scratch his nose. And if he needs to hear something, he can hear with his ears. And he needs to say something, he can speak with his mouth. And if he needs to go somewhere, he can go with his feet. So when he's all in the wrong place, he's just messed up. And a lot of times, churches get that way. They get all discombobulated and lose their awareness and understanding of spiritual gifts. But what would... Oh, sorry, dropped your hat. Look, where's Marlon? He looks kind of like Marlon with his hat off there. Yeah. I can say that even if he's not here because he loves me. But what if he doesn't have any arms? He can't. But what if he had arms and he didn't have any eyes? He'd be blind. Donald Gray Barnhouse tells a story about when he was in college, or someone he knew was in Chicago Kent College of Law, that the highest ranking student in that college was a blind man named Overton. Top student. And when he graduated and was receiving his honors as a top student, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend Kasprzak. I don't know, it's best I some it's almost like he's from Uzbekistan or something like that. But anyway, Kasprzak was his friend. They met one another in school when the armless, no arms, Mr. Kasprzak guided Mr. Overton, the blind man, down a flight of stairs. Their friendship ripened and became a beautiful example of interdependence. The blind man carried the books of the armless man and read aloud their studies, their common study. And thus, the individual deficiency of each man was compensated for by the other. After their graduation, they opened a law firm together. So the point is that no believer is complete by himself. We're not intended to be by ourselves. The intention of God is that we be a part of the body of Christ. Now, it's one thing to be aware that there are spiritual gifts and that you've been given spiritual gifts. As we study Scripture, we see that. But it's another thing to understand them and employ them. Thank you, Mr. Potato Head. You go back over here now. In your bulletin there, I put a little chart there that I stole from Warren Wiersbe. And he gives the three main passages on spiritual gifts from the New Testament there in that chart. And he has captions on the top, unity, diversity, and maturity. That's the purpose of spiritual gifts. If you'll study that chart and go through these passages on your own, you'll find how they fit together. Without the spiritual gifts in order, without the spiritual gifts functioning in the body of Christ, there can be no unity. We need unity in the church. Amen? And there can be diversity, of course. But the real diversity we're looking for is when you're functioning in your spiritual gifts the way God has gifted you, and so that we grow then to maturity in the body of Christ according to the will of God. Now, if you look and count all those spiritual gifts in the Bible, you'll come up with 19. I don't want you to get hung up on 19. Some Bible scholars say there's 21. I'll tell you what I say. I say all of those lists are incomplete. I don't think the intention of Paul's writing was to give us an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. I think God can give us whatever gifts we need to get the job done. And it's not limited to what we have just in Scripture. But He can give us gifts that weren't needed in the first century that are needed now. Amen? They didn't have computers in the first century. And some people are gifted. I know people that are in the computer business and never been to a computer class because they're gifted that way. So don't try to put God in a box when it comes to spiritual gifts. But just remember that Paul gave us this information, this teaching, so that we could at least understand what our spiritual gifts should be or might be and be aware of them and employ them in the ministry of the church. That's why he gave you gifts. So, secondly, let me get ahead of myself here. Did I already get ahead of myself? Let me see if I did. I've got some great stories here, and I don't want to get them out of order. But one, two, three. Yeah. We need to not only understand spiritual gifts, but we need to be aware. And the gifts are not given for individual enjoyment, but for corporate employment. I wish I'd have said that. I didn't come up with that on my own. But the spiritual gifts are like an orchestra. I'm going to read you this story now. I want you to bear with me because I think this is going to put it all down into a nutshell. And watch this. Keeping in mind that your spiritual gifts are not for your enjoyment, but for corporate employment. Listen to this. Kirk Romberg wrote this story. He said, "Once, when I was in fifth grade, our entire fifth grade class at Anderson Elementary School was required to take band. Now, I don't know why any school would require everybody to take band, because some kids aren't gifted in music. Amen? But everybody at his school was. At a certain hour every day, we'd go into the band room and attempt to play our instruments. We didn't really have a choice of which instruments we played. The instructor simply assigned us instruments based on what the school had available and what he thought each kid was suited for. I was assigned the saxophone, and that year the music instructor had one goal, and that is to help us turn squeaks into notes. I honestly don't know how he survived. We'd go home with sheet music to practice, and each day we'd gather to play. But when the teacher raised his baton and motioned for us to begin, it sounded like a car accident. We played different tempos, we played different volumes, we didn't watch the conductor, and we didn't listen to each other. And yet, in spite of how poorly we played, it was a new experience, and so each one of us got a certain degree of pleasure out of hearing ourselves play. Only I didn't want to hear the people around me play. I just wanted to hear myself play. And I thought I was really good. And I thought my instrument was cooler than everybody else's. So I naturally thought the people around me should hear me play too. So my objective was to play louder than everybody else. And this was the mindset of everybody in the room. It was a room full of soloists, and it was terrible. Well, this seems to be what was going on in the Corinthian church. They all had their own instruments, but they weren't following the conductor. They weren't playing together. Each one thought his instrument was the coolest and that everyone else should hear him or that everyone should play the same instrument if they were true members of the orchestra. And it was a room full of soloists and nothing short of a train wreck. And obviously, I'm referring to the use of gifts of the Spirit. Abide in Christ and obey His teachings on loving one another and ministering to one another and reaching out to the world with the gospel, and do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, and your spiritual gifts will become self-apparent. But the point is, the Holy Spirit expresses Himself through each one of us uniquely for the benefit of others, yes. And it's like being in an orchestra. Now, when I was in the eighth grade, he goes on, I was a member of the concert band at Lincoln Middle School. And that year, we performed Beethoven's 1812 Overture for our end-of-the-year concert. Because of the length of the piece, it was the only thing we played that night. We had prepared all year to perform this piece. And when the house lights went down and the stage lights turned on and the curtain went up, there we sat. All 100-plus members of our orchestra looking out toward an audience packed with proud moms and dads, brothers and sisters, grandmas and grandpas. And when the conductor, Mr. Batchley, raised his baton, we all put our instruments in ready position. I was on the saxophone. And when he gave the first downstroke of his baton, we didn't all start to play our own different pieces for our own personal enjoyment. We played the 1812 Overture. And we played it together. And we played it for the enjoyment of the audience in front of us. And every instrument was needed, from the flutes that played their trills to bring intensity and suspense, to the deep baritones that boomed out notes reminiscent of bombs on a battlefield. And even the quiet portions of the piece were moving as nothing could be heard except for the sound of different, distant chimes. And without that sound, that one little instrument, something significant would have been lost in the piece. Every instrument was needed, and as we played, each instrument followed with precision the movements of the conductor. Every note of our instruments and change in our volume matched the motions and varying levels of intensity of the conductor. And it was awesome. And when the final notes were played, we put down our instruments and we rose to take a bow. And the audience leapt to their feet and gave a roaring ovation that lasted 10 minutes and brought each one of us to tears because we knew how hard we worked. And now it was payday, and at that moment it was clear that it was a job well done. We are in an orchestra, you and I together, as parts of the body of Christ. And each one of us has an instrument that's been given to us. We don't play our own piece separately from one another for our own personal enjoyment. We play together. And we follow the lead of our conductor, the Holy Spirit. That's verses 4 through 6. And as we play our instruments, playing together and following the lead, every expression, every movement of our conductor, then we make beautiful music that brings pleasure to our audience of one, the Lord Jesus. That's how spiritual gifts work. And someone might say, well, I don't know what my gift is. And if I did know, I don't know how I would use it. My response to that is this. You can know your gifts. And you can employ them. Because that's God's plan. The question is, will you? When we get through this study on spiritual gifts, I don't want anybody in this church to be able to say, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't know how to employ it. That's my goal. As many as are willing to know your gift and to engage that gift in ministry. Some might even say, I need help in the very basics of having a relationship with God. I need to know how to walk in the Spirit. I need the assurance of my salvation. I need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's why we're here. Get involved in Bible study. Be accountable to other believers. Be a part of a group. Be a part of a Bible study group. Put yourself in a position in the body of Christ so you can learn and grow, so that the gifts of the Spirit can be exhibited or manifested in your presence. And then in the process, you'll find out how God's gifted you and how God plans to use you for as part of the body of Christ. And here's the deal. The only thing standing between a person and knowing God's plan for their lives is one word. One. Surrender. If God is who He said He is, and if He's done what He said He's done, according to the Scripture, then the only response is surrender. You can go to the far reaches of the earth. You can look to the ends of the universe for something to give you peace of mind, something to give your life purpose, something to give you meaning and significance, something that will help you understand who you are, where you came from, what's right from wrong, what's the meaning of your life and where you're headed. You can look everywhere, but the answer is in one word: surrender. Surrender to God. Turn away from yourself. You see, you're created in God's image, and you can get real creative in creating God in your own image. He won't do that. He won't go with you there. You've got to submit to God. He is God. You are not a God created by human hands. That's why I chose that song. He's not a God that has to submit to the will of man. He is a God to whom man must submit. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe, and He created you in His image, and He calls people to Himself by His unmerited favor, by His grace. And He says, if you'll come to Me and you will surrender to Me, then I will give you life, and life abundant. And live your life in the body of Christ for the glory of God.